You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. Visit us online at starlegacyfoundation.org.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Wimmer, and I'm the Executive Director of the Star Legacy Foundation. It's my honor today to be talking to Dr. Kristen Sharp. She is an obstetrician-gynecologist practicing in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're here to learn more about her unique practice and her experience with that, and also how she came to be a leader in this area that is so important to so many families who have experienced pregnancy loss. So Dr. Sharp, thank you and welcome to the Stillbirth Matters podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
So in addition to being a very busy practitioner in your OB practice, you are also a bereaved mom. Can you just tell us a little bit about maybe your personal experience and how that impacted your professional path?
Yeah, absolutely. So I lost my son Caleb June 25th of 2013. And, at that time, I was an early OBGYN. I was just actually less than a year out of residency in my first attending job. Until that point in my career, I had seen lots of pregnancy loss. So I was, familiar with it from a clinical perspective. But in Caleb's pregnancy, when we went in for our ultrasound, we unfortunately saw that Caleb had multiple anomalies, both in his brain, in his GU tract, in his heart. And so then we underwent an amniocentesis, which is where they can kind of sample his genetic material in the amniotic fluid. And unfortunately, that came back with a really pretty devastating chromosomal abnormality. And so then ultimately we lost Caleb, at 20 weeks gestation, in June of 2013. And, I remember, thinking when I went through that experience, I got this, I know how to do this because I've taken care of patients with loss before, which was somewhat accurate in a way, because I knew, some of the things that I wanted to do to memory make with Caleb, because I had seen other patients go through that. So, I spent several hours with him. We had a chaplain there. We had Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep come. We did footprints. I mean, all of those things, which I think, was great that I had a little bit of a background perspective, knowing that those were options there. But it was really, sort of in the aftermath of losing Caleb that I was caught off guard about what pregnancy loss was. And I had thought for years, having cared for women and families who've gone through loss, the loss was the worst day of their life and every day would be a little bit better after that. Which I feel horrible for thinking that because that is so far from the truth. But it really took me going through my own loss of Caleb to realize, grief is not a downward slope. I mean, it slopes downward with time, but there's a lot of ups and downs. And, so as I entered in those several weeks and frankly, several months after his loss, and I was still struggling quite a bit, I was worried that something was wrong with me and, really did not know how to navigate grief. I was unfamiliar with grief. And so really that opened my eyes to this whole other aspect of pregnancy loss.
Well, of course, we're so sorry that you had this horrible experience, and I know many of our listeners can appreciate many of the emotions that you're describing. So, thank you for sharing, Caleb, with so many of us.
Absolutely.
What prompted you to start to focus on the subsequent pregnancy and the care that women receive after having had a previous loss?
Absolutely. I mean, it really, again, was through my own personal experience of going through a subsequent pregnancy after loss. So in late November, early December of 2013, I became pregnant with our now daughter, Amelia. And again, I was totally unprepared for what sort of a mental roller coaster pregnancy after loss was. So I also sort of learned as I go as navigating that, because that totally caught me off guard, you know, as well. And it was really through just the loss experience with Caleb and then going through a pregnancy loss or pregnancy after loss myself that I realized, you know, there is this whole other layer of care that we need to be mindful of and addressing and, you know, supporting families through, because there is just so much more than just the clinical care of it. You know, someone could have told me a million times over, you know, the genetic issue that happened with Caleb was the equivalent of getting struck by lightning, you know, that the likelihood of that happening again was so low. But my thought is, like, I've already been struck by lightning, so what's going to prevent that from happening again? You know, and so kind of living my life and going through that pregnancy, waiting for the other shoe to drop was hard and exhausting. And, I feel so bad as a provider that, you know, here I provided care for a good 5 years to patients who had loss and had had pregnancy after loss, but it really just took going through that journey myself to realize that there is just this whole other aspect of loss that, we often don't address in medicine.
So taking a look at where your practice is now, we know that you dedicate a large part of your time to those subsequent pregnancies. And it's my understanding that this is primarily modeled after what we have come to know as the Rainbow Clinic out of the University of Manchester. They're probably the most researched and published quote unquote rainbow clinic in the world. But I know that it's not always applied directly. So can you just describe a little bit about how your practice for those subsequent pregnancies looks?
Yeah, absolutely. So the clinic that we have here in Madison is called the Hope After Loss Clinic. And so I obviously am, you know, work in the clinic, as well as we have a clinical psychologist, Dr. Julian Zweifel, who also works at the clinic. And she has a psychology practice that's really focused in on pregnancy loss or, you know, pregnancy after loss, postpartum mood issues, anything kind of pregnancy related. So she has been an absolute essential part of this work. And so how this clinic works is we really provide care to anybody who has experienced pregnancy loss at any point of pregnancy. So it could be an early miscarriage, it could be a full-term stillbirth. We've also provided care to people who have lost a baby sort of within that first year of life. And really the goal of the clinic is to provide a very personalized approach to their care. And so some of those services that we do, so we do a lot of pregnancy after loss work and in full scope prenatal care for that. Additionally, we provide kind of consults and services while someone may be going through a loss or recently had a loss, or preconception counseling for people who are considering becoming pregnant after a loss and want to, you know, talk through things and come up with a plan and a strategy moving forward. But I think, you know, the ultimate thing, you know, to the clinic is that personalized approach, because I have found that you can take two families that had a loss at the same gestational age, same circumstance, and their needs in a subsequent pregnancy can be completely different. So it really is not a one size fits all, you know, care model.
Absolutely. So how has this model been received by the families that you care for, maybe by your colleagues?
Yeah, I think it's the families that I've seen throughout the clinic. And actually, I've seen a couple of pregnancies now at this point, because we went live in 2017. So I've seen families back for not only their first subsequent pregnancy, but their second subsequent pregnancy. I think it's been received really well. We have gotten great feedback. I think that this is a really great resource for colleagues as well, as a place to send patients. And sometimes colleagues just send them for a one-time visit, just to kind of help guide their care there. I have seen colleagues who've said, hey, you know, this patient let's say her loss was diagnosed in my colleague's office, and you know, there is some anxiety and PTSD about going back to that physical space, you know, having that ability to send them somewhere else, I think is a huge resource. And you know, in addition to sort of the direct clinical care we provide in the clinic, I've also made a point over the last several years of doing lectures. I've done a lecture to my entire department. I do resident education lectures. We've done a parent panel to bring parents in who've experienced loss to talk with our residents. So the work of the clinic really goes beyond sort of just the seeing patients part of it, because I really want to impact sort of the maximum change I can and affect patients who aren't seen in the clinic. And the resident component of this clinic from the start. So I have a resident working with me in the clinic as well, so that they can have exposure and see sort of what these different types of care models look like, with the hope that when they go out and graduate, they can carry that knowledge with them and impact, you know, positively impact more families.
I love that you incorporate the mental health element, because I think anyone who has been in a subsequent pregnancy knows that mental health is just as much of a factor in how they're feeling as the physical health.
Absolutely. And I think a big part of that too comes down to also preparing your clinic staff for those mental health and increased anxiety aspects of pregnancy. And so that has been a key component to really driving the success of the clinic now, because I'm not the, you know, if a patient calls with an issue, I'm not the one sort of immediately answering that phone call. It's our front desk staff, it's our nurses. And so, you know, ensuring that they are aware of what the realities are of some of the pregnancies after loss and the anxiety that comes with it. And I mean, I tell my staff all the time, you know, for every one time a patient calls, I'm sure that they have thought about 50 times before they made that phone call.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic to really make it a team approach. So if someone asks you, in addition to the mental health component, how does this care look different from what they might get from another provider, or how might this care differ from what they received in their previous pregnancies?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it depends on the circumstances, the medical circumstances that accompanied their prior loss. So a lot of times it's that history that'll drive really that specific clinical care that we need to provide. So that might mean more frequent ultrasounds during the pregnancy. That may mean what we call antenatal testing or non-stress tests. So it can be a variety of different things. And to be able to do that too, I really need to kind of work closely with our high-risk obstetricians that are available through my institution, because they are the ones that are providing all that ultrasounds, a lot of the antenatal testing. So it really is sort of a team approach to be able to provide that care. But that in and of itself too is really specific, you know, patient to patient, what those clinical, you know, needs are. And really just kind of making that plan, I think, straight off can be really helpful for people to let them know what to expect, but also having that flexibility to change gears, to their changing needs throughout the pregnancy, whether it's something changes medically that we need to change our approach, or something changes mentally, emotionally, anxiety-wise, that we need to change our approach again.
When you're first working with a family, what are some of the most common questions or concerns that you have?
Yeah, so a lot of the common questions I'll get is, you know, what is the likelihood that this is going to happen again? I think that is sort of the most common one. You know, and a lot of it too is really having open dialogue and discussion of like, what are your needs are now? So first time I meet someone, okay, first pregnancy visit, you're 8 weeks pregnant, you know, what are your needs now? Because I think from what I have seen over the years too, I feel like people are a little bit hesitant to ask for anything extra, or don't want to be seen as, oh gosh, I don't want to be a needy patient. I don't want to bother you. I always get that. I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm like, please bother me. that's why we're here. But, you know, kind of setting that expectation that this is an ongoing conversation and ongoing discussion on what, you know, what those needs are. But really, again, to go back to the question, it's sort of what are the chances of this happening again, and what can we reduce that? I think those are the two biggest ones. And then, you know, some of the other concerns or questions that come up, particularly for people who have had later losses on labor and delivery, sort of what does that look like again? Going back to that place, that can be very triggering and really anxiety provoking. So, you know, talking through that experience, trying to prepare people as much as possible. In the time sort of pre-COVID, I would oftentimes arrange a one-on-one tour with a family who've experienced a loss on labor and delivery with one of the nurses who does the tours, just so that they can kind of physically get on that space again before they go there to have their baby. Unfortunately, with COVID, that has gone away, but, you know, sort of delivery planning is a whole other component, you know, of this care.
Yeah. So as I'm listening to you, I can imagine that we have many people from across the country saying, I wish she lived in my town. How can I, do I need to move to Madison for my pregnancy? How can I do this? So what recommendations or suggestions would you have to a family that doesn't, you know if a provider in their area is willing to specialize in this or if that's even an option, but what advice or recommendations would you have for them?
I think having really open dialogue with a provider early on about your history, about what your needs are in this pregnancy, and trying to find someone that's a good fit. You know, I think also too, something that may be helpful in figuring that out is if you have a local support group or a network of families who've experienced loss, kind of picking their brains too about their experiences with providers, just to see if, you know, there's somebody that they can recommend who could be a better fit at really appreciating what those needs may be. But I think the biggest thing is just don't be afraid to ask what you need. Because, you know, with my prior comment, I feel like a lot of times once I present that as an option, they're like, oh my gosh, thank God that is there. I've been worried about, like, just be proactive and ask about it, because other providers may be willing to provide those services, but they just don't know, you know, what you need. So don't be afraid to kind of put out there what your needs are. Don't be afraid to try different providers too. You know, someone may not be a good fit, and that's totally fine. If you're contemplating a future pregnancy, that might be an opportunity too to do some preconception visits with different providers to ask them about, you know, what their care model, you know, would be.
Absolutely. And then the flip side of that is if a provider is interested in pursuing this, or they have a patient who has asked them about providing this type of care, what suggestions or ideas do you have for them?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think, you know, dialoguing with a patient individually is sort of my biggest suggestion that I can make, because again, you know, every patient is different. I think there is more and more data out there about how to approach pregnancy after loss. So really for providers, educating yourself, I think, is another big component of this. And I think we've come so far in how we can provide care in pregnancy after loss. I mean, a decade or two ago, this wasn't even really acknowledged all that often. And so I think we've come so far, and, you know, there is still so much work to do. My other suggestion for providers as well is know your local resources. Know what support